Our second lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, which Amy focused on in her children's sermon. As Jesus is preparing for his departure to the cross and having his last words with his disciples, this is what he tells them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? O Lord, open our hearts to the word you would have us hear this day. Open our lives to the direction you would have us take. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, Amen. This fall, in our worship and study series, we've been focused on mission. The first question we asked is why we do mission. Is it to do good? Is it to be good philanthropists? Yes, of course. But Christian mission is more than that, too. For Christians, mission is about bearing Christ's name, about carrying Christ's way, carrying Christ's agenda into the world. Saint Teresa of Avila said these words, which we've shared before, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. That's why we do mission. Not for just the sake of being good, but because we're stewards of Christ's agenda in the world. What a blessing that is. That's why we do mission. But that's not the end of the story. Then we've looked at how we do mission, which is just as important. And that seems pretty obvious. If we call ourselves Christian, then we need to keep trying, never perfect it, but keep trying to act like Christ would act, to approach others with an attitude of respect, to approach others with an attitude of compassion, to approach others with an attitude of humility. That's how we do mission. Today, we turn to the third question, the what of mission. What do healthy practices of mission look like? In our study guide, Sharon K. George's book, Called as Partners in Christ's Service, the first practice she points out is this. She calls it observing and participating. Notice which comes first. Her point boils down to this. Before we try to do God's mission, the first thing we need to do is observe what God is doing in the world. Before we try to do God's mission, We need to look to see what God's work in the world already is. This is the way she puts it. The mission of the church only becomes a possibility when we observe what God is doing in the world and then participate in that activity. Well, let me put it this way. We can only do God's mission if we see what God is doing. We can only do God's mission if we see what God is doing. Well, why does that matter? Well, first, if we jump in too soon, if we presume we know what we ought to be doing before we look for what God is doing in the world, then we run the risk that it's our agenda and not God's agenda that we're after. We've all seen that kind of presumptuousness at work, that holier-than-thou, I know better than you do, well-intentioned, condescending effort. It's not pretty. But the other risk is this. If we don't keep our eyes open to God's work in the world, then we can turn hopeless. We can turn cynical. We can start being defeated. I look at this election cycle, and I've seen the discouragement set in on both sides of the aisle. People are asking themselves, they've come and talked with me about this, people are asking themselves, what difference does it make anymore? The world is going, excuse me, to hell in a handbasket, and there's nothing I can do about it. Well, today I want to offer you hope. I want to tell you again that God is at work in the world. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. As Jesus once said, those who have eyes to see, let them see. But don't take my word for it. As we've been doing in this series on mission, we're hearing testimony from some of you, and today it's our joy to hear from Jamie Wildman. Jamie?
Thank you. I am honored and privileged to have the opportunity to speak on the topic of participating, observing and participating, and provide testimony about how I've glimpsed what God is already accomplishing and what a privilege it is to participate in it. To start, I would like to provide an overview of my road to participation. I remember sitting at a lunch about 7 years ago in downtown Chicago with a prominent member of the financial services community, with the guests being a number of folks like me who were under the age of 40 at that time. He began the lunch by asking each person at the table what they do to give back. I vividly remember my heart racing as he rounded the table, eventually coming to me. Let's just say I was not proud of my quick attempt of a response I provided, knowing in my heart that I could and should do more to give back. This really prompted me to think about ways in which I could make a difference. Around that same time, a relative of mine passed away, whom I love and respect dearly. His obituary and eulogy touched me deeply as I learned about all of his accomplishments and gained clear appreciation for what an impact he made on the world. I immediately sought vigilantly for ways in which I could get more involved philanthropically and eventually joined the board of directors of Bernie's Book Bank. For those of you who are not familiar with Bernie's Book Bank, this organization collects, processes, and distributes books to significantly increase book ownership among at-risk children. I am proud to serve as vice chairman of the board and have Bernie's Book Bank as a core mission partner of First Presbyterian Church, as I am passionate about the work this organization does, making a significant impact on the lives of at-risk children both here in Lake County and throughout Chicagoland. Bernie's Book Bank was founded here in Lake Forest in 2009 and has developed rapidly. It has distributed nearly 6 million books since its inception and will distribute 3 million books this year alone. I would encourage anyone who is interested to not only consider helping in the warehouse in Lake Bluff, but also attending a book distribution where the rubber truly meets the road. You would think that you were giving away ice cream by the way these children receive these books with excitement and immediately start digging into their new possessions. Many of these children have virtually nothing else to clearly call their own. During these distributions, you truly feel God's presence as you can vividly see the work you are doing that is transforming the lives of others. Whenever our family goes to the warehouse, I always ask my daughters, Alexandra and Avery, hi girls, if they like books, and if they think that it's good that we are helping children who don't have books to get books. While they admittedly are probably tired of me repeating this message, they nonetheless are able to sense at a very early age what Kristen and I stand for as both parents and individuals. Each night at bedtime, we say a prayer for the strength to help others solve problems and ultimately make this world a better place. They are able to see these words in action and feel God's presence as we help to transform lives through our family's involvement with Bernie's Book Bank. One of the greatest aspects of this organization is the fact that children can get actively involved with the effort. In fact, it is one of the only charities I am aware of that enables children to actively participate in its efforts. I've taken my children there several times to the warehouse. In fact, we were there yesterday. And during yesterday's visit, I could vividly see God's presence in the warehouse. My daughter Avery was tasked with placing stickers on books to identify these books as books from Bernie's Book Bank and encouraging readers to pass them along to others. I mean, what child doesn't like to put stickers on things? Right, Avery? Watching the enjoyment on her face as she worked hard leading other kids in the stickering effort, while simultaneously providing a father-daughter bonding experience, while simultaneously helping to make the world a better place, I felt truly blessed that God provides us with the opportunity to have such amazing experiences. Knowing that our work is having a tremendous impact on others only further exacerbates his presence. If you want to learn more about Bernie's Book Bank, I would be happy to speak with you further about it. I recently attended a Faraja School event hosted by Dave and Tracy Tomey, where Dave said it best, "My goal is not to get you involved with this, although if you would like to get more involved with this, great. But hopefully this encourages you to get involved with something where you will feel God's presence as you make a tremendous impact on the lives of others." A friend of mine recently passed away, and he used to say that you live for your obituary, not your resume. This is a challenging principle for many of us, including myself, to always adhere to, but I think it is an important message for all of us to keep in mind on a regular basis. This same friend passed along a prayer to me, part of which included a simple message which succinctly sums up my message today, that philanthropic work enables us to not only do good in the world, but it also enables us to see God's strength in our lives. The prayer is as follows. Take time to do charity. It is a God-given privilege. Amen.
Amen indeed. I love that, Jamie. I just love it. Your road to participation started when you observed God's work in others, when that finance person stood up in front of you young pups and threw down the gauntlet of challenge to say, how are you going to make a difference in the world? What are you giving back? Or when you saw God's work in the testimony and the obituary about your beloved family member, and you realize this is where God is at work in the world, and you want to be like that when you grow up. This is how it works. It's how it works, that God shows up in our lives through these other people who've made a difference. God shows up, and then something extraordinary happens. As you start to observe God working through other people, then you find yourself drawn in to the work of God, and you are participating in it. Whether it's Bernie's Book Bank or Faraja School or 1,000 other ways, that's how it works. And as you see God at work over and over and over again, you begin to realize that God isn't going away. This, you begin to see, is where the rubber hits the road, in Jamie's words, or I might say, where Christ's work meets the world. I'm not naive. I'm not Pollyanna. I don't want to say that we can just wave a magic wand and everything is going to be hunky-dory in our world. And in talking with many of you in these last weeks, I get it that it's easy to feel defeated. There are things going on in your personal lives. There are things going on in our world. Some of you are carrying the load of hurt over what's happened in Haiti or in Aleppo or in 1,000 other places. And I get it that it's easy to feel tired, to wonder whether the work you're doing makes a difference. And I get it that our country is really torn up right now. As I said in my weekly message, I'm not proud of it, but I chose to watch the Cubs instead of the debate. I think it was the right choice. But at times like this, this is exactly when we need to look up and notice God's work that's already stirring in us, already stirring in our country. To notice what's happened in our nation before that seemed impossible to many. When Americans saw Christ's respect for all people and they chose to abolish slavery, was that easy? Hardly. Did it matter? Yes. When Americans saw Christ's compassion for the stranger and they chose to welcome the huddled masses yearning to breathe free, was it easy? No. Did it matter? Yes. When Americans saw Christ's humility toward the lowly and the powerful alike, and they chose to educate all children, rich and poor alike, and they chose to give all citizens a vote, men and women alike. Was it easy? No. Did it matter? Yes. Is there still work to be done? You bet there is. Are there very different opinions about how we should get there? Absolutely. And is it easy to feel defeated? Yeah, now more than ever in my lifetime. But we still have choices. We can let our human limitations get the better of us. We can presume we already know what the answers all are. Or we can look. We can look for God's presence. We can look for Christ's way. We can look for signs of the Spirit. And like Jamie, when we do, then we can make that choice to participate and step in, to step up. We can, as Scripture tells us, choose to let love be genuine. Love not just for our own kids, but for kids who have no books to read. We can choose to love one another with mutual affection. Not just our like-minded friends, but also those who challenge us, who disagree. We can choose to outdo one another in showing honor, not just for people who are like us, but especially for those we have so little in common with. We can choose to rejoice in hope, to be patient in suffering, to persevere to persevere in prayer, not just when it's easy, but especially when it's hard. In other words, we can choose this day to do exactly what Jesus invites us to do. You know the way already. You have seen God here already. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen.